Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we are going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. The main source is the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And today we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Sister Salma.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
Thank you so much for being here. So today I was thinking we should discuss about how to deal with stubbornness in a child, because these kind of situations occur a lot and we tend to not know how to, you know, react when a child is very stubborn.
Yes, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In actuality, every child will have a degree of stubbornness in his nature, you know, that he wants, because he has this feeling that I am myself and I want to be independent, mm-hmm. and I want to have my way. So it starts from the age of 2 years, as small as the age of 2 years.
Wow.
So a stubborn child generally insists to get things done his way.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he finds some resistance from others, he will have, you know, a recourse to crying and shouting. That's his way of saying that, no, I want my way to be done.
Yeah.
And the parents at this time become completely, you know, baffled.
They don't know how to react. They don't know what to do.
And they feel that the only way to make him quiet is to give him what he wants. And that's a wrong way, of course. There are other ways to deal with this. So he may even, you know, hit himself on the ground and hurt himself. But we have to act like a parent who is like...
in control.
In control and the head
of
the, you know, like the child. Not the child taking over the parent. The parent should take over the child. And this is when such situations arise, especially when the child becomes stubborn in nature.
Yeah.
And the child will go as far as even refuse his main basic needs like food, just to get at the parent and to see how much the parent is resisting. Because parents have this soft spot that, oh my God, my child is not having food, he'll get weak, no, better get him what he wants.
Yeah.
And, you know, like try to manipulate him in whatever and try to cajole him and things like that. But that's a wrong way again. And the child will always use this method to get his way. So here, it doesn't mean that you refuse food to the child and the basic needs. You always give the child the basic needs. But if the child refuses out of stubbornness, it probably even will throw the food away or, you know, throw the crockery and become aggressive and hit the other members of the family. And if this persists, that the parent always gives in to such kind of habits, then it will persist until the youth age.
Mm.
And that's why you see some people, they can't control themselves. They have this habit of throwing things.
Yeah.
You know, they want to just, you know, blow somebody, or they can't control themselves because of the fact that they were given in instead of having that control, the parent having the control over them, that how to deal with such situations until the child himself feels that he needs to give in.
Yeah, and I guess in these situations, the parent has to try and be very, you know, neutral, because when sometimes the children act so stubborn, either the child, the parent gives in, or the parents get angry, and then they get angry at the child and they say no, and, you know, there's a kind of a fight. Because the child doesn't understand why the parent is not giving in, or the child wants to, you know, get his way, and the parent feels, why isn't the child listening? So there has to be this neutral, you know, way of reacting, so that the child is, even if the child is screaming, you know, acting very normally, so that the child feels, okay, you know, I'm not going to get what I want, and there has to be this kind of controlled situation. Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to take a short break, inshallah, and we're going to continue for more on this after the break, inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
So welcome back, dear audience, to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Islamic Upbringing. So yes, we've been talking about how to react with a stubborn child and how to, you know, be with them and how to tackle this problem.
One way to tackle this problem, which is very effective, is a way to train the child to come around to accept what you want instead of what they want. It's called the Socratic method.
Okay.
And this is the method that would work mostly by a kind of reasoning out, in not a rational way, but in the way that is felt tangibly for him.
Okay.
You know, like if you want something, you know, then you understand what he wants and feel excited over it. Oh, you want this, huh? This is very good for you, right? But what if, for example, if this happens, and then what if we get into trouble because of this? What would happen then? You know, get him in a position that he first feels that you understand, and you feel so, you know, like
you want
to give him whatever, but understand as well, but feel bad for him as well, that you can't do it for him. But first of all, you should make him feel that, yes, you are with him, you understand it, and then finally you come around to making him reason out the way you want. And he will come around. Of course, it's a task that needs to be practiced a lot. And for people who want to, you know, delve more on this, they could read ahead on the way how to reason out with the child in getting what the parent wants rather than what the child wants, as far as the stubborn nature is concerned of the child. Because in many situations, you feel that you are on the spot. You're taking on the spot. So in these situations, maybe you could use things like distracting the child, making the attention of the child, you know, get wayward, focusing on something else. But this is very temporary. If you want to teach him the permanent method, for example, if a child wants to not put a raincoat on for his class, for his school, then he says, no, I don't want to put a raincoat on. So the father says, oh, you don't want to put the raincoat on? Why? It's because it's this in color. So probably the child says, yeah, because, you know, the father knows the child, or the parent knows the child, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's too big for him, or it's too small for him, or it's the color is not appropriate for the child. So then you say, yes, oh, you stand out when you wear this kind of jacket. He says, yes, I stand out. Okay, what about wearing another jacket? Would you wear that? Yeah, maybe I would wear that. What about a pink one? What about would you wear maybe your mother's jacket? Says, yeah, I wouldn't mind wearing my mother's jacket. So at least he would put on the jacket in the first place to be avoided of the cold, right?
Yeah.
Rather than getting sick. So you see, whatever the father or the parent wanted, the child came around to the same, you know, idea.
By making them
reason, rather than getting his way. That no, you have to put on the jacket. If you don't put on the jacket, this will happen. So it will never be done with happiness.
Like, let them come to that conclusion. You don't force it into them.
Yeah, and in this way, you're also training children to ask and think more.
Right.
Yeah? In everything, to think more ahead. Philosophical mind. To have a philosophical mind is to think more, to keep them, you know, driving it. Keeping one thought dwelling to another thought, such that they reach a conclusion by themselves,
exactly,
rather than you placing a conclusion in front of them.
Very true. Thank you very much. We're just going to take a short break, and inshallah, after the break, we're going to continue this discussion. Stay tuned.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, excessive blame causes the fire of obstinacy to flame.
Okay, so you're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Islamic Upbringing. So we have been talking about how to deal with the stubbornness nature of a child and how to, you know, react and deal with this and tackle the situation. And you were talking about this Socratic method, that we have to tackle the child in a way that to make them see reason, you know. Yeah, so it's a very interesting method. And
yeah, and come round to the conclusion the way the parent wants.
Exactly.
In a happy way rather than a forceful manner. Another consideration that the mentor should take is that as far as possible, he should give freedom for action to the child. You know, a child is left to play for 7 years free to play. That means whilst playing, he should be kept free. As much as possible, he should be kept free. He shouldn't be interfered with much with their actions, not perpetually keep on telling them not to do things, you know, do it your way, or don't drop things too much. When the child tries to climb over a chair, for example, you know, don't ask him not to climb over a chair when you put the chair.
Make the situation the way you want it. Yes. Don't stop him from doing that.
Yeah. For example, if he tries to peel a fruit, don't stop him and tell him that you're peeling more skin than the fruit. You know, let him try and experience things himself. In fact, let him even take the risk sometimes and peel his fruit more, of course, with not a very sharp knife, that you should be careful of. That is one of the things that a parent has to be careful of as far as the dangers are concerned.
Exactly.
But when he peels it more, he will realize that his fruit is very small. The consequences will be more by himself. And he took the risk of peeling. And you let him peel. So next time he'll say, you can comment that, look, your fruit has become small because you peeled a lot, right? But it's not a bad way you peeled. It was a very good thing that you did. You know, bravo, you did it in the first place. So don't interfere with their actions too much. Mm. That makes a child less stubborn. Because he'll feel that he has his freedom.
He's given that space.
And they love their freedom, especially whilst playing. But if you interfere with, you'll see that stubborn nature coming up.
Yeah.
And no, I want it my way. And you will see that sometimes without the permission of the parents, they're doing things that they're not even supposed to do. You know, like taking the dangerous things at home, like the knives, and climbing very high up, which they're not supposed to, or taking the very, you know, like metal tools of their parents that they're not supposed to touch.
I've heard that, like, when you stop a child a lot from doing something that is naturally, he's naturally inclined to do, for example, that you stop him from eating junk food at all, like completely, and the child is being exposed to other children who are eating it generally, so then the child sometimes goes and hidingly does it, eats it, and you don't want to make the child do things hidingly from you. You should want the child to always be open with you.
And free.
Yeah, and free
and
with
happy
you.
To do whatever he does, right?
Exactly.
So this way, he'll be forced to do that action. For example, the way you mentioned eating the junk food. So I would suggest probably be moderate with him. Allow him, you know, some kind of junk at certain times. And, you know, probably you can explain that, okay, we are eating this, but, you know, our thoughts will be filled with junk. That's what it affects. The proper food gives the proper thoughts. So what would we like? Of course, we would like the proper way of thinking, right? Even a child understands this, that he wants to be clever in future. He doesn't want to be dumb or something like that.
Yeah. So or we substitute and make something else, but in a more healthier way. Yeah. And, you know,
there are so many ways. But of course, it shouldn't be stopped altogether, especially if they want it so badly.
Exactly.
Right? Rather than, you know, having our way, they will come around to thinking that, you know, like they would want to, you know, adopt the way of the parent.
Exactly.
Which is best suited for him, of course. So one of the reasons for stubbornness is also the excessive interference of the parents in the child's actions.
Yeah, and sometimes the parents feel that, no, it is their duty to explain them and, you know, and tell the child that, no, you don't have to do this and this is going to be the repercussion. But at that moment, the child is still young. They don't understand all of these concepts. You have to, like, deal with the child in a way that they will learn from it.
And they see it.
Exactly.
Rather than rationalizing and advising them that, you know, if this happens, this would happen and you don't want this to happen. They say until the child reaches by the age of 7, they won't learn these rational concepts. They will all learn it by, you know, seeing and feeling. They want to see the effects outside. So this is how you show them.
Yeah, very true. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. But inshallah, that we are able to continue this discussion in the next episode. Inshallah. Dear audience, thank you very much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, comments or suggestions, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir and visit us at our website parstoday.com. Inshallah, until the next program, fi amanillah and God bless you all.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ
And strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. It is the religion of your father, Abraham. Allah named you Muslims before in former scriptures, and in this revelation that the messenger may be a witness over you, and you may be witnesses over the people. So establish prayer and give zakah and hold fast to Allah. He is your protector, and excellent is the protector, and excellent is the helper.
Brothers and sisters, we're talking about the 78th verse, the last verse of Surah Al-Hajj. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ And strive hard in Allah as you ought to strive for Him. وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ He has chosen you. وَمَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ And he has not laid upon you any hardship in religion. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ The faith of your father, Abraham. وَسَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا He named you Muslims, both before and in this. لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ That the messenger may be a witness over you. وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ And you may be witnesses over the people. فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ Therefore, establish prayer, pay the poor rate, and hold fast to Allah. وَمَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ He is your guardian. How excellent the guardian, and how excellent the helper. Since the conclusion of the surah is a rather long verse, we're going to dedicate different programs for different parts of the verse. In the previous program, we tried to discuss the beginning part of the verse, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ And we somehow concluded that haqqa jihadi can mean the sincere intention and actually accomplishing our acts for the cause of the Almighty Allah. With regard to the holy struggle, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam has said, "Now then, surely holy struggle is one of the doors of paradise which Allah has opened for His chief friends. It is the dress of piety and the protective armor of Allah and His trustworthy shield." And it is really interesting that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that the alms and zakat of the body is holy struggle and fasting, both of which are included in the instructions of this chapter, and one of them is specifically mentioned in the last verse.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Now, anyway, in view of the fact that there may arise this thought that how it is that these heavy commandments, each of which is vaster and more conclusive than the other, have been laid upon us, the weak servants, there are some other statements in the continuation of the verse which indicate that these things are some evidences for the grace of Allah unto the believers, and also they are the signs of the grandeur of the rank of their personality, the believers with Him. That's why the verse continues saying, "Wajtabakum," He has chosen you. If you were not chosen by Allah, you would not be given so many responsibilities. So He is the one who has given us identities. But at the same time that He is giving us identity, He is somehow personalizing us. He's not taking it serious. He's not taking it hard upon us. Because the very verse says, "Ma ja'ala 'alaykum fi d-din min haraj." He has not laid upon you any hardship in religion. So, if you think properly, these commandments are not some hard duties. On the contrary, they adapt to your pure nature, and they are actually consistent up to your nature. Why, you may ask? The reason is they are as some means for our own perfection. Every one of these instructions has a philosophy and some clear benefits which will finally reach us, and they will not be bitter in our soul's taste, and they are completely sweet and wholesome. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, "Verily, holy struggle in the way of Allah is of the best deeds of the believers." Of course, the believers may not recognize the importance and the good effects of the holy struggle in the beginning, but they will eventually after they see the effects both in this world and the other. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to The Lantern, only here on IRIB English Radio. Thank you so very much for joining us again on this episode and sharing with us your precious time, lending us a listening ear. And sometimes we don't necessarily have to learn new things from these discussions, but rather just take them as reminders and momentum so that we'd have a ray of light, at least today. Today that I'm listening or talking about this show, just today I would have a ray of light in my life that will help me through. And, you know, would inspire me to do something good, even if it's only one thing for myself or for someone else. In the religion of Islam, I think we all know that there is no such thing as asceticism in Islam. What do I mean by that? There is no such thing as secluding ourselves from life and society, living every day, praying and fasting and supplicating, not trying and endeavoring to have an earning, and abandoning all financial, material endeavors because I want to be closer to God. There's no such thing in Islam. Rasulullah, who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the prophets before him and all the imams after him had jobs, had careers, had incomes. They socialized. They had a group of friends, of family members. They interacted with other people, different fields of life, different walks of life, people from different walks of life. And there is a lot of emphasis in Islam regarding trying, regarding effort, regarding the will to improve ourselves and our skills, and to use it in the direction of making the world a better place for ourselves and others, and thus creating a better afterlife. Let's listen to a short story about effort and trying to get better. And we'll be right back.
This is Lantern, so welcome to this program. We have an interesting story entitled Writing a Composition. Children, tomorrow I shall expect all of you to write compositions. said the teacher of Love Lane School. Then on Friday, those who have done the best may stand up and read their composition to the school. Some of the children were pleased and some were not. What shall we write about? They asked. You may choose any subject that you like best, said the teacher. Some of them thought that home was a good subject. Others liked school. The next day, every pupil except one had written a composition. Henry Longfellow, said the teacher, why have you not written? Because I don't know how, answered Henry. He was only a child. Well, said the teacher, you can write words, can you not? Yes, sir, said the boy. After you have written three or four words, you can put them together, can you not? Yes, sir, I think so. Well then, said the teacher, you may take your slate and go out behind the schoolhouse for half an hour. Think of something to write about and write the word on your slate. Then try to tell what it is like, what it is good for, and what is done with it. That is the way to write a composition. Henry took his slate and went out. Just behind the schoolhouse was Mr. Finney's barn. Quite close to the barn was a garden, and in the garden Henry saw a turnip. Well, I know what that is, he said to himself, and he wrote the word turnip on his slate. Then he tried to tell what it was like, what it was good for, and what was done with it. Before the half hour was ended, he had written a very neat composition on his slate. He then went into the house and waited while the teacher read it. The teacher was surprised and pleased. He said, Henry Longfellow, you have done very well. Today you may stand up before the school and read what you have written about the turnip. Many years after that, some funny little verses about Mr. Finney's turnip were printed in a newspaper. Some people said that they were what Henry Longfellow wrote on his slate that day at school. Henry W. Longfellow was one of the most famous American poets.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
An interesting hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam that I think should be written in gold and placed above every city says that the value of a man is in the measure of his will, my willpower. In the story of that little boy, whose name escapes me, what was his name? Henry Longfellow, yeah. In the story of little Henry Longfellow, he could have, well, first of all, kudos to his teacher for inspiring him and not rebuking him by saying, oh, you're stupid, you're incapable, look at all your classmates, they're already doing so well, and you're just an idiot, how low can your IQ possibly be? He instead inspired Henry. I hope I'm calling his name right. Please be Henry. Is your name Henry? Yes, his name is Henry. Instead, he gave Henry a solution. He motivated Henry. Like we said, no one is lazy. They just need the proper motivation to get them going. He motivated Henry. He gave him a solution. He guided him, pointed him toward the right direction, and told Henry, Henry, this is what you should do. You should pick something that you know about to say what's it good for. Talk about something you know about, what is it like, what is it good for, and what's done with it. The teacher gave Henry step-by-step solutions. He guided him. He gave him instructions in order to be able to get out of that state of discomfort and confusion and frustration, for Henry not to feel that, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm just stupid, everyone is doing so much better than me, I'm a failure, I'll never get to do anything in my life. One proper instruction from a person who knew the importance of motivating their students turned Henry into a great writer and poet. And with that said, I hope that we can always find that sort of motivation, whether it's whether it's through motivational books and lectures, whether it's through having good companions. And that's why the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam and the Quran emphasize on that so much, to have a good circle of friends, to surround ourselves with scholars, with people who are successful, with people who have strong willpower and are intelligent, because they would rub off on us and they would affect us and they would help motivate us too. And of course, for us to help motivate other people. On a final note, I will leave you with the beautiful words of Henry Longfellow, where he says, "Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust thou returnest," was not spoken of the soul. Thank you for being with us on this episode of The Lantern. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the most outstanding thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And with me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid, salamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, Brother Ali Alavian. Thank you very much, brother, for accepting our invitation. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to be here, bro.
So it's really a blessed month, a holy month, a happy month. It is the month of Rajab, in which we have the birthday commemoration anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's why Brother Mahmoud, the producer, dedicated this series of the program, Viewpoints, to the character and the great personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as tackled and as pointed out by the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. So, Ali, Imam Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib, these are different terms that when you Google on the website, you only can find for that, is really a personality who is accepted by all the people around the world. He is praised by Muslims and non-Muslims. He is considered, as the leader says, to be a very complete and comprehensive role model for all the people all around the world. That's why many people from different denominations, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Zoroastrians, our Zoroastrian brothers, and other, you know, monotheistic religions have been absorbed by the personality of Ali alayhi salam and his justice. Sayyid, let's start with you, brother. Why Imam Ali alayhi salam, and especially in today's world, in which we are passing life with so many so-called heroes around us, can be considered as a comprehensive and complete role model for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when we talk about Imam Ali and the infallible Imam, especially Imam Ali, we should remember that obviously he was a complete man, and When you go to the Islamic terminologies, in nowadays, there is a term which is used in the books, and that is referred as Insani Kamil.
That's perfect human.
Perfect human. So because he was a perfect human, that's why everything was within him. And to become a perfect human, obviously, we all can become a perfect human because Allah has created us perfectly.
Okay.
He potentially has created us perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there are some people who practically reach to that level.
That's right.
And Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was one of those.
That's right.
Who reached to that perfection with his deeds, with his actions. And obviously, he couldn't reach at that point if the Prophet wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was because of the Prophet that he reached to that level. And
so preparing the ground for Ali to grow up in such a way.
Yes, in such a way. And then he look after Imam Ali alayhi salam. And obviously, we know that we have the narrations as well in which Prophet said, like, Allah has created my light first. And then from my light, he created the light of Imam Ali.
Yes.
So basically, these are the reasons, and obviously we have different narrations as well in which it is said, like, if they were not there, then I wouldn't create anything.
Mm-hmm.
So especially like Hadith-e-Qisa that we recite in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly said, if these five were not there, I wouldn't create anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that these are those role models and those perfect human beings for which Allah has created the whole mankind.
Okay.
And he put them under the trial because of them, because he knew that these perfect people are there.
That's right.
And it works to create such a human being.
Mm.
And the free will that he gave to us, it was because of them. So when we talk about Imam Ali being a hero or being a perfect man, it's because obviously he has reached to that level, and it is because that he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly.
That's right.
And he did not love anything else but Allah.
And the interesting point is that he was not a prophet. But what he is, and the people all around the world, you know, especially those people who are not familiar with Islamic, you know, history, theology, and the, you know, the history of Islam, behave him as a prophet, you know. You know, the term that they use about him as a complete human being is like a messenger who has been sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to guide
the
people.
We need to also understand what's the difference between the Prophet and Imam.
Yes.
Because obviously we can have an Imam who is superior than Prophet.
Yes.
But not the last Prophet. Obviously the last Prophet was Imam himself and the Prophet, and he was the Sayyidul Anbiya.
That's right.
He was the leader of all the prophets, and obviously he was the leader of the imams as well.
Yes.
He was Sayyidul A'imma and Sayyidul Anbiya both.
That's
the last
right.
Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But apart from him, the imam, an infallible imam, can become superior than others because he is related to this last prophet. Because this last prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the leader of all the prophets and all the imams, so whoever is associated with him can become superior than other prophets.
Especially if he's considered as a successor
to the
last prophet.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Brother Ali Levian, let's get to you, brother. So what's the secret about Ali, you know? Sorry to use the term Ali, but it is Imam Ali, but you know, everywhere around the world when you look at it, you know, this Ali ibn Abi Talib, whether it is used with Imam or without the title Imam, he is accepted as a very great personality, and this is really interesting about him. What is the secret for the greatness of Imam Ali alayhi salam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his purified progeny. There are some factors that makes Imam Ali Imam Ali. So as the brother mentioned, and I to some extent will try to continue what he has started to say, there are some factors and aspects of his personality that makes him different. In his personal life as a citizen, in his social life again as a civilian, and also as a person who took the government and became the leader of the Islamic Ummah for almost 5 years. As a successor of the Holy Prophet, and who was at home for 25 years and giving a consultant to the caliphs of the time, As a scholar, as a person who could never tolerate oppression on himself and on other servants of God, again on his personal life as a worshipper, as a good servant of God, as an abd in the term that he was totally submissive to his creator.
That's right.
As a scholar, a person all knowledgeable.
Yes.
When he was asked, and they found that he knows everything. Many of the branches of science, even today, refer back to the source of it. When they are traced, they will go back to Ali alayhi salam.
That's right, about the Arabic literacy, the literature, even theology, jurisprudence. Calligraphy, and many different types of Islamic sciences trace back to, and this has been documented also in the Sunni references, that the first three caliphs, when they had the problems with their becoming jurisprudential matters, they will for sure consult Ali ibn Abi Talib because of his high knowledge and the mastery over Islamic sciences on that time. Although the different branches of sciences were not classified as today's are.
Very true.
But
very
Ali
true.
Was perfect, that's right.
So the classification of different levels of knowledge were different.
Yes.
And it was the nature of the presentation of science and knowledge there. So it's something that quite natural. So Imam Ali alayhi salam was a perfect sample or role model for the human beings. For his patience and for his incitement and for his insight in all the efforts that he was tackling, when his wife was martyred for the sake of the Islam, for the new religion that came to existence,
yes.
He tolerated and actually show a great patience that no one can actually find such a thing. Look. Suppose that someone comes to your house and slaps on your wife's face, what would be your reaction? Mm-hmm. At least you will try to compensate whatever has been done.
For sure.
But he said nothing and he had no reaction. Why? It's very difficult for a man, for a person, for a strong man who actually who broke down the Khaybar gate.
Yes.
And took it from its bottom and throw it away.
Yes.
So for such a person, it's quite easy to compensate and show a reaction to the person who did such a thing. For his anti-oppression morale, like whatever he saw as oppression, and he distinguished it as oppression, he stood in front of it, stood firm in front of it, whether it was from the authorities, but to the extent that it does not actually let the Islamic foundation ruin.
Mm-hmm.
So he stood in front of them and took the right of those who were under oppression. And as a person in his social life, as a civilian, he was a person who cared for the others, for those who were in need.
Yes.
You see, even in our today's life, we see some people who are needy due to, I don't know, with this corona situation and corona circumstances. We see many people are in trouble, but those who go and start helping these people go under the flag of, I don't know, groups, even person, people. But this continuity cannot be seen in a person to care for all the, let's say, needy classes, groups of this society, as headed in that time. Look, the society at the time of Imam Ali was not as big as society today.
Yes.
But when we study it meticulously, we find out that he cared for all those who were under the pressure of economy of life.
Yes.
So you are the leader of the Islamic Ummah from one side, and you do your best to actually to divide their share and their
bank. He was really loved by the society of his time. It is documented that it was when he was struck by the sword, and he was going to die, and the medicine man has said that milk is good for him. Lines of the people were behind the door of the house of Ali with the bowls of milk. Okay, so this shows how much love the people had for Imam Ali alayhi salam on that time, that when something is good for him, they are on the door, you know, making line for him. This was the really the social justice and the, we can say, that Imam Ali alayhi salam was after on that time. As you said, the society was not that much big, but still, you know, there were so many people worse than Imam Ali alayhi salam who did not do such a thing, you know, going to the house of the orphans. You know, nowadays, you're right, there are so many associations and societies, orphanage houses, old houses, okay, yeah, nursery houses, but
what
Ali had
makes
had all
him
of them.
Different and yes. What is the second behind it? So I don't know from where we have to start and talk about. From his words, which are all wisdom, whether the sayings, whether his sermons, from his behavior in the society. So these are the things that makes him different from the others.
Yes.
From other,
we can divide these things into different things, and then if you can, obviously it's your program.
Of course, as the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has tackled it on different points. For instance, he says that Ali alayhi salam was tajassum hukumat ilahi, the manifestation or actualization of the divine authority of Allah on earth.
Yeah.
And this is very important, because when you are going to establish an authority administration regarding the divine aspects is very important. Also, Prophet Muhammad established the religion of Islam and this authority, but Ali as the continuation to that had a major role. Thank you very much, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, for a presence in the program Viewpoints regarding the great personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as pointed out by the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, please accept our congratulations again on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the blessed month of Rajab and Sha'ban. Please visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam Radio. Also our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
قاله محمد جاء به وهو حديث مسند في حق من بذكره نردد فهو علي بالعلا مؤيد للمرتضى كرامات والعلا جذاب ومن يروم
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.